We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Shivano, and with me, as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
And joining us as well, much like he does every week, a Warriors insider who can transmogrify any episode into a good one, Mr. Rushy Simmons.
I'm hoping I can do something with this one, with the start that you had, Shivano. Well,
okay, wait a minute. Are you going to say anything about me nailing it on the first take? Because you were all fired up last week to point out how terrible it was, and this one, boom, like magic.
I mean, I got to say that you correctly pronounced all the words
like magic,
but you definitely called yourself Shivano.
Yeah, well, I would like you to start calling me Shivano.
It's so not gonna happen.
It's
ever.
Entirely appropriate. And while I'm dropping magic, since the last time
I might
recorded,
go on mute for the rest of the show,
since
as a matter
the
of fact.
Last time we recorded, I happened to look up the word transmogrify. Did you know that it means changing, but more specifically, a change made with magic? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. There's no way that's how you meant to use it last week.
It's exactly how I meant to use it.
We were not talking about magic. It wasn't like a David Blaine conversation. You are changing history. You misused the word.
No, it was exactly what I meant to say. It's completely changing the shape of something through means that are so insane that they could be magical.
It means to transform in a magical manner, yeah. And you were not talking about magical manner
changes.
Well,
you're using Dr. Google, not Dr. Webster.
Scott,
so
please, weigh in here.
I'm just glad that we can record this episode, given the fact that Bram let all the recording equipment get stolen last
week. Okay, he sold the equipment.
He alluded to equipment problems last week. Let's get a little bit more specific. We didn't have equipment at all.
Well, we
last
did.
Week. No, we did not have equipment at all. We used Rusty's phone and the terrible
That's
app
equipment.
On the phone to record it. Now,
thanks, RC Davis.
What I know for certain is that two episodes ago, we may or may not have been drinking. I may or may not have left the equipment in my garage. I think I did, and we know for sure that the equipment is no longer in the garage. That we know for sure. I think it was stolen. There's arguments about what could have happened. I've got questions for all of you.
You do still wear a watch that doesn't work, so I'm not sure you sold the equipment.
Wow, dude, stole me right under the bus. Now, one, start with the audience. Thank you guys not only for your understanding, but the people who were sweet enough to suggest that you would help us with a GoFundMe page or to lend us equipment. That means the world to us, and thank you so much. Rusty, be honest with me. So we bring in a front office member.
Yeah.
It's the first interview you and I do together. We've got your phone on speakerphone, and we're recording it with a phone. Did you start to think to yourself, what the hell am I doing on this show?
No, yeah. I mean, it was quite embarrassing. Travis Schlink is like one of the leading talent evaluators in the NBA, and we've got him for 20 minutes, and we've got no equipment to record it.
Well,
he did know because we told him.
Okay, so you were a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
Scott, do you blame me? Like, where are you on this equipment stuff now?
Of course I blame you.
There's nobody else who could possibly be at fault.
If it got stolen, you can't blame me.
Why'd you leave your garage open?
I didn't say I left my garage open. I may have. That may have happened. But okay, I just wanted to make sure you guys all both blame me collectively.
Yeah,
this is my fault.
It's clearly your fault.
Okay. That seems a little unfair. It is what it is. Enough ridiculousness. You need to learn that this is not a video podcast. The filthy look this fool just gave me. One last thing that we should cover before jumping fully into the Warriors.
Why is this not a video podcast?
Can we
get donors to bring in the video equipment?
No, we cannot. They'll just be stolen out of my garage.
Everything
and nobody
is
wants
simulcast
to
now
it.
Anyway.
Let me move on. Nobody wants to hear about your equipment anymore.
Can somebody please take pictures of this?
This is not
moving pictures.
Scott, would you like to handle the moving picture taking?
I just like the use of simulcast.
Well, I knew that word.
It will transmogrify this entire situation.
No, it takes magic.
One last non-Warriors related thing before we do jump into the Insider's Report. This is not a political podcast. I certainly won't bore you guys with our Trump take, but we do usually lean on people far smarter than us. And here's a quote from Stan Van Gundy about Trump's election.
For our country to be where we are now, that we took a guy that I don't care what anybody says, I'm sure they have other reasons and maybe good reasons for voting for Donald Trump, but I don't think anybody can deny this guy is openly and brazenly racist and misogynist and ethnocentric and say that's okay with us, we're going to vote for him anyway. We have just thrown a good part of our population under the bus.
Any of you guys want to add?
I thought it was awesome. And I thought it started what should be happening in sports. They have a platform to speak about things that are way more important than a basketball game. I think what Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich did after that added on to it. And I think some of the players have stepped up too. And I love, as a basketball fan, I love seeing that in the NBA. For years, I wanted Michael Jordan to do this stuff, right. But he always talked about Republicans buy shoes too.
Who, and I can't believe I'm blanking on this name, the coach of Alabama. Saban? Did you guys see his quote? They asked him about who would you support in this upcoming election.
And he said, I didn't even know, and there's no way that was true.
And it was a very obvious sidestep. I love the idea that someone also very much in the public eye would meet it and give his real opinion and a well thought out one. So I was impressed.
No, I mean, it's exactly what this country's all about, right? Is having the freedom to give your opinion. And it doesn't matter the stage you're on or the position that you hold in the world, you know. Let your thoughts be said.
I thought one of you guys would give me a little bit of shit about not playing Popovich or Kerr, so I'm glad that you finally agree.
It was the wrong decision. Kerr was way better than Van Gundy. Popovich, anytime he talks, is better than everybody. And Popovich is like 7 or 8 minutes of just sheer, unadulterated brilliance.
Both of those quotes were like audio novels. We were not going to play. They're a half-an-hour podcast.
People would listen to 8 minutes of Popovich talking about Trump more than they would you talking about how bad you are at opening the show.
We made them listen to 25 minutes so far of stolen equipment. So it probably wouldn't have been a bad idea. Let's finally talk Warriors. Let's go to the Insider's Report. We're on the other side of last night's Toronto game. An easy win. Fun to watch. A couple players did seemingly sustain minor injuries. Both Steph and Draymond got hobbled with what looked like ankle injuries. What's our update?
Yeah, you know what? Draymond is going to have ankle and knee injuries for the rest of his career.
Oh, why? No.
He came into the college with a heavy body. He worked on it. He came into the NBA with a heavy body. He transmogrified it.
Too much.
Through magic.
Too much.
Between his rookie and sophomore season. When we saw him in summer league before his sophomore season, it was amazing how he had changed his body. And now he's not bearing as much weight on it. The pounding on his knees and ankles isn't as bad, but the damage is already there. And you know Draymond Green. He doesn't sit down. He doesn't take practices off. He doesn't take games off. So he's going to keep pounding it. He's going to play in the summers. Until he sits and takes some time, this is always going to happen to him.
Are you being honest with... So when before we went live, we talked about this a little bit, and you basically said what you're saying now, that he was fat or heavy, and it stretched out his ligaments. Or do you honestly believe this is going to be a chronic problem for him because of his overweight situation before?
For sure. It's already there. And last year in Denver, they gave him a game off, and the Warriors lost.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to take the other... Yeah. He had already agreed to it that he was going to take another game off. But because they lost, he was like, I can't handle this anymore. I'm coming back and playing. And that's who Draymond Green is. He's going to play through all this stuff. It's nothing you ever have to worry about because he's fantastic, whether he can move or not.
Yeah.
And he's going to play through it, and he doesn't feel it during games. But he's always going to have it.
You can't say it's not something I'm ever going to worry about. If he's going to have a career full of ankle problems, it is something I'm slightly concerned about.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many games has Draymond missed? Yeah. I can't remember a time where he sat out.
How many years has he been in the league, though?
When he's 30, I bet there's a summer where USA Basketball calls on him.
And he says no.
All right, okay. I finally need some time. Yeah.
And just to give the other side of that picture, Steph is perfectly fine. Nothing happened there, right?
You know what? Scotty and I differentiated on this. I thought it looked like the limp that he always has when he hits his ankle, but you said you saw a pretty clear image that it wasn't that.
I saw a slow-mo replay that showed knee-on-knee contact, so to me it looked like it was a knee situation, and the fact that he didn't even sit out for a single play. They took a timeout, they checked it out, and he came back in, so that to me sounds like it was more of a knee bruise situation rather than the ankle, which I think they'd be a little more cautious. I hope they'd be more cautious.
I shouldn't bust Scotty out on this, but I will. I don't know what he watched on last night, but this fool does occasionally stream games, so he didn't have a clean view on anything.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're watching it on the internet, he may have injured his neck, and this fool may have thought he was his
knee. And I have to add in this fact that Steph hates to sit after the initial ankle tweak. When the ankle tweak happens, he wants to run right through it because then it stiffens up.
And it's terrifying, and he doesn't want to admit to himself that these problems could possibly come back.
So it could very well have been the ankle, and he wanted to play through it, and he did.
Was it real cable, or did you stream it?
I streamed it.
Okay, yeah. So anybody out there so listening, listen go ahead. Scott.
It was immediately it was an ankle. That. Steph played through it. He's fine.
To pick up the other side of both coins, one, Draymond Green has absolutely found his game. Yeah. And, you know, and just like we said from the beginning, these guys are going to slowly build into who this team is going to be. He's found his identity. It looks like he doesn't care about scoring. He realizes that what he adds is everything else, and he's doing that with a pump. The play last night where he tossed DeMar
DeRozan. Did you just try to say aplomb?
I did, but hell fast. I said it hell fast because I like got nervous and kind of embarrassed that I was going to say it.
Oh, you were using it accurately.
Yeah, I was. No, I definitely was. Said it accurately. I didn't want to say it, though, which is why I backed off. Anyways, the thing that I was going to say with aplomb was the play where he blocked DeRozan, got the rebound, and then tossed it off DeRozan's face out of bounds was the most Draymond Greeny play. You know, it was just so great to have him back. And then Steph, which leads to this another question that I've got for you. Steph had another amazing third quarter, much like he did in Denver, much like he has done over and over and over again in his career. What the hell is it about the third quarter? Why does he go off in those?
I think it's so many different things. One, he wants to be a true point guard. He could go from the beginning of the game and start scoring immediately, but he doesn't. He almost always tries to get everybody else involved. I think this was so true in their very first playoff series when they played Denver. They were huge underdogs, and he was trying to get everybody else involved. And the other thing I think I see with him is it takes him a while to feel it out. Like, Denver was throwing at him so many different defenses, then they started beating up on him, and it takes him a second to feel what's going on. And he's such a feel player, a rhythm player, that sometimes the magic doesn't happen in the first half, and he can come back after he sits at halftime and comes out for the third quarter, and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, I got to take over or nobody will, and I know exactly what they're going to do to me, and I know how to attack it.
What happens, you may or may not know this, what happens in those halftimes? Do they, like in football, a quarterback throws an interception, you see him on the sidelines, and they're reviewing the pictures of exactly how the field looked. Do they do video review and that type of stuff in a halftime session with an NBA team?
Sometimes, especially when it's really bad, when they can cut together really bad clips.
Almost to embarrass them kind of deal,
So they can really point out when you're getting killed on offensive rebounds, and they can throw three clips together real quick just to show this is how bad it looks.
Right.
But in the NBA, a lot of times, it's the guys get the stat sheets, they look at it, somebody comes in and talks, and that's it. In the NFL, you have a longer period of time. They all break up into position groups. There's time to look at film. They readjust. Yeah. They do all these different things. In the NBA, it doesn't work that way. It's in and out.
Is anyone else worried that someone may come in at any moment and steal this equipment? Scott? Anybody?
Not at all.
No, you guys aren't.
I mean, it's not. Just wanted to make sure. It's currently not up for sale, so I'm not worried about it going anywhere.
Another large moment of this last week. So, Kevin Durant entered. Was it the Denver game? Yeah, Kevin Durant entered the Denver game, sitting on 72 consecutive games of scoring at least 20 points, a streak that lasted literally a year, 365 days.
Who was he tied with?
Then that was going to be my next point. Before I answer that, and going into that, he had 18 points. There are 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're up, I don't know, 15-16. The game's over. It's very obvious they're letting him chase it, and then he draws an offensive foul because he's pushing it a little too much, and Kerr takes him out. And at the moment, I think, of course, that's the right decision. And then when I read about it the next day, just like you're pointing out, he's tied with Michael Jordan. There's no way that didn't mean the world, though. Now, they've said the right things. Kerr came out and said, you can't piss off the basketball gods. Yeah. Durant came out and said, I'm here for championships. I'm not for individual awards. But did that piss him off? What you know of Durant? Did he want to be out there? Did that upset him?
I think it pissed him off that he lost the streak, but I don't think it pissed him off that Kerr took him out.
He doesn't blame Kerr for that?
Kerr gave him 6 minutes to go get it.
Yeah.
And he failed.
Which is what he said.
That's the right answer. I mean, he gave him a chance to go get it. He failed.
But why not put him in for just a little bit? Like, it's 2 points, which Durant basically gets any time he wants to.
If Durant gets hurt, gets a technical, which is what Kerr said, that's the only thing we're talking about.
Let me just run this point by you, because you are right, but let me run it by you. It obviously meant the world to Durant, because that foul that he drew was because he was forcing the issue. He 100% what he wasn't. He wasn't doing what Kerr did. I'm sorry, with what Curry did with the 3-point record, allowing it to come to him. Yeah. It wasn't. He was showing.
I've never seen him look up at the scoreboard so many times.
He was showing the world that it meant. You know, it really did. It really meant a lot to him. Everybody in the building knew it. Everyone watching the game knew it. And Kerr took him out. You're telling me it didn't piss him off?
It pissed him off, but he was pissed off at himself, the right person.
He should have got that, which is also what he said.
He had 6 minutes to chase it.
And these guys can get hurt at any time that they play, though. So what's the difference?
That's right. But getting hurt at the wrong time takes everything away. Yeah. If you're up by 15 points and Stephen Curry's still in the game and he hurts his ankle, that's a problem. Yeah. If he gets hurt in the first 30 seconds, he's a starter, of course. Play the game.
And also, I mean, it's why take the chance, right? You can get to a car accident at any moment. If I'm driving to work and I get in a car accident, it was what it was. I had to be in my car. If I get up at 3 in the morning and decide I'd like an ice cream sandwich and drive to 7-Eleven and get in a car accident, the hell was I doing out there?
Yeah.
You know, and like it's the kind of thing when I come home, why would you do that? Which is what it felt like with Kerr. But they're in a courting period a little bit. They're figuring each other out. He made the right call, but I was still surprised that Kerr was so quick with the hook. I thought he'd give him at least one more shot before he did.
I would bet that they all knew that Kerr is brilliant at a lot of stuff, and one of the best things he is at is communication. And I would bet that he told Durant, "Hey man, you got 6 minutes to go get
it." It is what it is. Make it happen.
You got 6 minutes to go get it. And he hit that mark, and he couldn't get to 20, and he took him out.
Here's Kerr on it, by the way. Quote, "None of it matters, and our guys know that. I'm not going to mess with the basketball gods. If you want to leave a guy out there to get some kind of record, you're asking for an injury. The game called for him to come out. He came out. He had no problem with it. I think there's going to be a lot of that stuff this year."
Yep.
Which is essentially what he was saying. And to follow it up, what Durant said, it was cool while it lasted. Up there were some great names, but I've got bigger goals in mind, which is also, you know, what we were saying. It pissed me off. It would. It would absolutely piss me off. And I'd never say it. I'd never tell anybody.
But who would you be mad at?
Kerr.
I really would.
Even especially if I shouldn't be.
I mean, Kerr probably still has his loyalties to Michael.
No, come on.
Wow.
That's garbage.
Now I feel like I shouldn't agree with you anymore.
That's garbage.
Spoken like a guy who watches game on stream.
Kerr didn't want to break the record last year.
Yeah, either. Yeah. He had a lot of loyalty when he ripped that record up last year.
You know who else has looked good and is interesting? It's almost a divisive member when you talk to Warrior Nation about him. JaVale McGee. People have been a little bit frustrated with Zaza, and because of that, a lot of people have been pointing to JaVale, and he finally is starting to get some minutes. He had a breakout game in Denver, got some minutes last night. Maybe I'm crazy, and I'm not going to tell you, call me crazy, because you ruined my entire question last time, so we're not going to do that, but I think in the right setting, with the right mindset, if he stopped thinking he was a fancy guard, if he just recognized who he was, he could be DeAndre Jordan for this team. If all he did was play defense, get rebounds, and rim run, am I saying that right?
I don't know if you know what that means, but you did say it right.
I mean, it means running to the rim?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it's two words, so it's not in particularly difficult. It's not Latin, buddy. So, yes, I feel like I did understand what it meant. If that's all he did, just caught alley-oops and played D and swatted shots,
right. He
wouldn't be the exact same player?
You sound like every GM, probably, who's taken a flyer on Jordan.
Okay, but this culture is different than anything else. I mean, it really is. This culture is
so basically, he's going to be the defensive player of the year and an all-star.
He wasn't an all-star. Was DeAndre Jordan an all-star last year?
Yeah.
No, he's not going to be that. He'll be a homeless man's DeAndre Jordan.
Okay. It's possible.
I feel like that pause meant I was probably
right. It's possible. I watched.
Let me explain what rim rems are to you.
I watched him one night, and it baffled me because all the starters were playing with him, and they were super excited. And there was a one play where Draymond outletted Steph, and Steph normally would have pulled up from 32 and just taken the shot.
And gave it to him.
Instead, he dribbled back toward half court and waited for JaVale to get down there to throw an alley-oop.
Okay.
Everybody was looking for him to get the ball.
So you're saying Steph agrees with me.
Steph agrees with you. I haven't seen Klay pass to him yet, but Iguodala agrees with you. Draymond agrees with you.
Okay, so why don't you agree with me? What prevents you from believing in JaVale McGee?
Because I've just seen so many times that he's not a player you can count on.
I
want to. He's fun.
And to back
I think
both
his,
of you guys.
I think his mother is wonderful, but he can't I can't count on this guy.
He signed a 4-year, $44 million contract with Denver, I think, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly right. And it's what you were saying, Scott, is that people have believed this in this guy deeply in the past, and he is less than performed. But I also think that this is a different situation. Here's Ron Adams, by the way. Quote, I have to say that from day one in the summer, he's been a really delightful member of our group. He's very engaged in our team, and I think our team really respects him. The environment on our team has been really big in helping his growth, which is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This guy has never had structure. Denver isn't a championship team. They're asking very specific things of him. They don't need him to be a franchise center. They just need him to be a homeless man's DeAndre Jordan.
I will totally agree with what Ron Adams is saying there. The Warriors, for years, have had their locker room in check, and they've said, we can now afford to take an asshole. And they haven't done it. They've had chances. They've flirted around with some guys.
Larry Sanders.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. They've flirted around with some things, but they've never done it. Now they've done it.
Yep.
And I think I think Ron Adams is right that culture has helped, but that doesn't mean that it's going to change JaVale McGee on the court. You have to understand, this is a guy who shoots at his own basket sometimes. Right. Sometimes he just runs the wrong way.
Why? Have you met him? Well, who is this guy? What, personality-wise, I mean, literally, not joking, who is he?
I've only talked to him twice. Both times I came away feeling like Phil Jackson's Space Cadet comment years ago.
He seems aloof, man. I've never met him, but when he's talking, he never seems like he's all the way there.
I don't know if it's a concentration. The Warriors will know this way better than I would, because they look at all these things, the brain waves and all this stuff, but... I just don't feel like he's there all the time. And that doesn't mean that he's not a good guy. He was right in the middle of the party that they had.
I was going to say, he flies a good drone. Takes a good drone picture.
Yeah, so. I think he's probably a good teammate and is trying to do everything that he can. But that doesn't mean that
you
can count on this guy. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's been proved time and time again. I will believe in him in this setting. If anything, if any crucible can shape this coal into a diamond, then it will be this backbone. But we'll find out.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong, because he is...
That coal thing was awesome, by the way.
That was awesome. He is so talented, and he deserves to be good. His family deserves him to be good. And it would be cool to see it happen.
To follow up on the drone picture, for those who haven't seen it, apparently Steph had a party at his house for most of the players, and it was a themed party. The theme would be supervillains, which I absolutely love, but help settle an argument. So I thought that it showed that they don't give a single shit about what everyone else is saying about them. But other people have pointed out to me that no, that means exactly the opposite, that they are catering to what people are saying. Which side of the ball do you land on? Is this an FU to the public, or is it them kind of cratering in?
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Which one?
It is a little bit cratering in. You know, like I don't think the supervillain thing lasted very long, really. Like, there was a Kevin Durant's a villain now storyline that happened this summer, and I think it's gone. When you listen to the Warriors getting announced on the road, they're getting cheered. People aren't getting booed. There are more Warrior jerseys on the road than there are home team jerseys. They're not villains. People still love the way they play. Steph is so stinking likable that everybody in every arena likes him. They're not villains. So they're catering.
It's also what they're doing. If somebody came into this room and started juggling lions, I wouldn't boo them. You know, like, it's so impressive. Like, I mean, impressive. But it really is so impressive that even if you came in there wanting to hate the Warriors, watch them for a couple quarters when they're hitting on all cylinders. You can't. You cannot. It is too impressive with what the hell they're doing. I was thinking this the last game. We used to worry so terribly about who would score with the second unit. You know who it is? It's the best f-ing scorer in the NBA. It's Kevin Durant. You know, I mean, like, it's unbelievable the upside.
It was crazy.
Team.
In last night's game, I was looking around when that bench unit was in. I was like, this bench unit is pretty weak. I mean, I'm looking at McCaw and then I finally get to the corner and it's Kevin Durant. I'm like, okay.
We're completely fine.
But I think, going back to the supervillains thing, I mean, is that basically the Warriors just trying to put a chip on their shoulder, kind of create some type of motivation still?
I think it was a party that was designed way before the supervillain died out.
Yeah.
And they just went through with
it.
And
it was what it was.
Andre Iguodala, I thought, had the best stuff in it. There was like children's face painting. And so he decided, like, I'm going to make a real point, and had like the tear painted on his eye. And did those kind of things.
Nobody likes that guy. Like, you don't want to be at a party and somebody's doing that. You know, like, awesome. Oh my God.
He was like, I'm going to make it relevant right now.
The photo, if you guys want to go out there and check it out, is entertaining for a couple of reasons. One, because it says supervillains. But two, because it's very clearly a situation where they said, all right, we're about to take a drone photo. They're all getting to a big circle. They're looking up. They clearly had said 1, 2, 3. I mean, they're looking up. And everyone is looking up smiling, with the exception of one guy, Clay Thompson, who's looking at his phone. Who's basically like, you know what? I don't care at all about your drone
photo. You accidentally meant to say, number one, it's important because Clay is paying no attention.
He just doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. In any other setting, like, oh, we're about to take a picture. Say, hey, cool. And then just looks at his phone. Like,
just look up for 1 second.
Yeah, how hard could it be? It's a drone. It's a head. I mean, you want to look at the drone anyways. Before we get to
fascinatingly enough, my favorite Clay Thompson story, and anytime a scout tries to ask me about who this guy is, because he's confusing, right? Like, he does crossword puzzles and reads the newspaper. And
no,
then,
he does not. Yeah, he does not do crossword
puzzles.
He does. No, I don't believe
he does.
He was drinking a Bud Light last night during a post-game.
I think that may have been a Coors Light, I think, on close examination.
No, it was Bud Light. And he pays no attention to anything that's going on, completely aloof. But then he can do crosswords and is up on current events. He plays chess. Nobody knows who this guy is. Hangs out with his dog.
Is he dour?
No, he's not dour at all.
I'm still working on that word.
But my favorite Clay Thompson story, and the one that I think tells the most about him, is he's in China, and everyone on the team is invited to go to this market. He's the only one who shows up because he wants to take advantage of everything that could happen. He goes in and finds an angry bird, electronic angry bird. He talks the person down, gets it for a price that, you know, he could have afforded when he was 9.
I mean, talks him down from what, like 15 to like 12?
To like $12. Super excited. Gets this thing, is spinning it up in the air, and there's just video of him watching this thing in amazement as it's flying around. And it comes down, and he catches it in his hand, and he looks at the camera and is like, yeah. And you can just see, like, complete contentment.
And what's great,
as Steve Kerr says, Clay's got it all figured out. Like, nothing matters.
And in that story, he actually looked at the camera, which is fantastic. Yeah. You know, like, it brings it all.
It was the only white person in the world, in his world at that point.
I didn't bring this up, but I should have. The one thing that stuck out to me about JaVale is that he looked exhausted. I mean, like, might die at any moment exhausted by the end of the Denver minutes, because he just hadn't played in an NBA game.
It was at altitude.
Okay, if by some miracle right now, tonight, you guys were dumped into the middle of an NBA game, how many minutes could you play?
Well, my health isn't exactly great, so I'm going to go 18 seconds.
Go just wind. How about just wind? You can take away the health concerns. Just wind as we sit here.
18 seconds.
What do you think?
I think I can get...
I play hard,
too. Wait, because he is going to way over. The only reason I'm asking this question is because Scott's going to tell you like a quarter and a half or something. He's going to tell you something totally ridiculous.
So just before I get tired?
Yeah, you can play as many as you want until you ask to come out.
Okay, I'd say 8 minutes.
Well, I wouldn't ask to come out.
No, you would be, but you
would die.
You'd be dead on the floor. Okay, 2 points. One, me, however long it takes me to run from one side of the court to the other, and then I vomit because NBA courts are way longer. I have had the opportunity of doing that a couple of times. I didn't vomit then, but I would now. Two, there's absolutely no chance that you're making 8 minutes. There is no possible way that you're making 8 minutes.
I bike 13 miles a day.
I know, that means nothing. The question wasn't how long are you going to be biking. You definitely are not going to be able to play NBA hoop for 8 minutes. Will you tell him, please?
18 seconds.
Yes, exactly.
I'm in good shape.
How smart is Zaza Pachulia?
Super smart.
I mean, I've been reading all these articles suggesting that he's gone to business school in multiple places. Man. Like where? Remind me, because I wasn't smart enough to write them down.
He did Stanford, he did an Ivy League, I think he did an internship on Wall Street. Okay. He's academically brilliant and basketball brilliant.
That's what I was going to say. So does that translate always?
No. It doesn't translate always, but for him it does. I think he's had really good coaches along the way. I think Carlisle really helped him last year. I think that's helped him in his film study, and he's really gotten into that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had it on a...
What does that even mean? We just had a hand signal here that I've never seen before, and I hope this doesn't get cut out.
No, it's definitely not getting cut out. Just to bring the audience in, since we do not have a moving picture situation going here, Rusty and I were talking, we look off to the left, and Scott had what seemed to be a very cryptic gang symbol.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm not sure if he was telling us he's going to murder us, or yeah. What was happening. Some kind of hand signal that got really ugly.
I was putting up some numbers.
I spent some time in my life in D.C., and that was very close
not sure
to
what
the
happened.
202 sign.
I have no idea.
Like, you hit
happening.
The floor when you see that.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. I'm sorry. I was just trying to tell you guys just how long we've been going here.
Okay, yeah.
Also, what was the answer? How long have we been going?
Don't make him do the hand signal again. I'm just recovering.
Was it 202 minutes? What just happened there?
Anyways, moving back to Zaza before we all get shot behind this guy's hand signals. What I like about this is that what the article that I was recently reading said, not only pointed out the schools he went to that I didn't write down, but that he was constantly watching film, not of opponents, that he was watching film of his own teammates. Yeah. He's figuring out where Durant wanted the ball. He figures out what kind of screen Steph likes. Figuring out how Clay can get out of the current slump. I love that this dude who's crazy smart is directing that kind of next level intelligence about how he can advance this team. That's very cool. I mean, I really miss Bogut. I'd still trade him for Bogut in a heartbeat. But I love that story, which honestly, far more importantly, I have heard rumors that they're somewhat expecting Bogut to come back after this year. Any truth in that?
I haven't heard of that at all.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I would think that from Bogut's comments when he was here that he wouldn't be real interested in that.
Is that true, really?
Yeah. I mean, he called the NBA two-faced and barely stood up when the team put a video up and acknowledged him. And, yeah, I don't think he has any interest in coming back here.
Well, when I said rumor, I think I just made it up right
now.
Oh,
that was your rumor?
Yeah,
kind of like all the Klay Thompson rumors that are going around?
A lot like the Klay Thompson rumors. And
most of those are mine, though.
The most recent of which came from Brian Scalabrine, who told us that they were going to trade him off to Boston, I think, for Avery Bradley.
Avery
Bradley, their pick, and somebody else. Either way, is there anyone in the league you trade him for? Anybody.
Kawhi Leonard.
That's it? That's where the list ends.
That's the one.
Boogie Anthony Cousins. Davis?
Oh, my
God. Obviously, no, hair shirt. Let's go. Let's go.
You're not serious.
He's absolutely serious.
Oh,
Anthony Davis?
Goodness.
If you could guarantee health, Anthony Davis? Yes.
I'd consider it.
Yes, you would say yes to that.
I don't think it fits the cap, but I would consider it.
Here's a remarkably random question. Conversational whiplash, so get ready for it. But this happened in the serial.
By the way, Bob Myers has... He does a fantastic...
Is this conversational whiplash? Is this why you've done
he
this?
He does a fantastic job of talking a lot and looking you in the eye and calling you by name and making you think he answered your question without ever answering your question.
Huh.
And when things are asked about Klay Thompson being traded, he says, no, Klay Thompson is not being traded.
Which tells you what?
Klay Thompson is not being traded.
I mean, of course he wasn't. That was never a reality at any stage. Honestly, all jokes aside, would you trade Klay Thompson?
For Anthony Davis, yeah.
Anybody else? DeMarcus?
I wouldn't do DeMarcus.
You wouldn't do
no.
DeMarcus. DeMarcus is pretty good.
You'd do Kawhi.
I do Kawhi, for sure.
I don't think I'd do Kawhi. I don't think I'd do DeMarcus.
Towns?
Give me one to two more years on Towns.
But for this team, really? I mean, who helps this team more? Any of those guys? Because we need someone to be able to guard in the backcourt, right? If we lose Klay Thompson, who the hell guards the other best guard?
I mean, you know what I think about Klay Thompson. I think he's
the second best player in the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two-way player in the league.
Completely ridiculous. You're still saying that after Travis Schlenk told you were stupid and wrong.
And I think he's the perfect complement to Stephen Curry.
What about the stupid and wrong thing? You're not going to say anything about that?
Everything the Warriors do should be about complimenting Stephen Curry. Yeah,
which he does perfectly. Getting back to my conversational whiplash before the Bob Myers knowledge, which was good, by the way. I enjoyed that. Serial, the podcast, way the hell back when, had a moment that always stuck out.
You pronounced that so much better this time.
What? This is the first time I've said the word.
No, we talked about it beforehand.
Yeah, but they were there. Who are you pointing this out to?
I mean, I want the people to know what I have to go through.
Now, getting back to actually my question, there was a moment in Serial that has brought
Cheryl?
Up one of my favorite dinner conversations. And in this moment, the juror came out and said, we all have someone in our life who can help us get rid of a body. And what they were talking about is that if you had to get rid of a body, God knows why you'd be in that circumstance. this person insinuated that we would have a friend whom you could call that would actually help you dispose of the body, right? And as I thought about it, there's two portions of that. One, someone who would have the means of getting rid of the body. Two, someone who could hold up to the mental pressure of the police starting to push them. So my favorite dinner conversation is I'd always bust out friends. Who would you call? And you watch people turn on each other. They'd say you'd fold under the pressure, that kind of stuff. But what I'm interested in, if you had to pick an NBA player, past, present, at all, you have a body, you got to get rid of it. Who do you turn to? Who's your serial and who's your Cheryl NBA player?
Just in case my mom is listening, I would never have a body.
There's no one. We're not actually going to have a body.
Okay. But current Warrior is Draymond Green, hands down. He knows people. Those people don't talk. Draymond doesn't talk.
And they wouldn't fold at all.
In fact, he'll go the other way and like pin it on somebody else. It'd be solid. Fantastic.
Art, I love that.
And
when Draymond was arrested this summer, he got the police officer to bring him an iPhone charger.
That's actually true.
That was amazing. Yeah. Who does that? Yeah. Who gets arrested and asked to charge their phone? Right.
He'd be like, hey, can we do it off this corpse? No, he's fantastic. And all-time Warrior for me is a dude named Mikey Moore. I know a ton of people probably don't remember
dreadlocks,
him.
Big dude.
Yeah,
he's like a 6'10 guy who played like maybe 8 minutes a game.
He was a fantastic.
He was good at body removal.
His house was absurd. He was an old school car guy, so he had like just beat up cars that he was working on everywhere. He had crocodiles that were allowed to play with certain bulldogs. And then crocodiles who were not allowed to play with certain bulldogs. And this was all going on in one relatively small place.
We're doing a full podcast on Mikey Moore at some point.
We should get him on.
He
is a fascinating dude.
Get him on immediately.
And the Warriors, he's such a good locker room guy. The Warriors had him with that young group with the 2009 Warriors. So where they had all
Curry's boys,
where they had all these undrafted guys. They had them with them, and then they brought him back when everything was falling apart, and they were trying to tank just because
they liked him.
Yeah,
well, also he helped them tank because he sucked.
No, they didn't play him. They just had him in the locker room to try to explain to guys, okay, here's what's going on. It's 2011. We got to get this pick. And he's a perfect locker room guy, would never tell on anyone. And he's got bulldogs, crocodiles,
and
cars, trucks, everywhere. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know we were doing just Warriors, so I'll pivot on the fly here. Steven Jackson would be the obvious choice.
He'd
be the obvious choice, but he'd crumble immediately. So my actual point or my actual choice is Chris Mills, the guy who boarded the Portland Trail Blazers bus with a loaded 9mm. That guy probably has somebody to take out. Yeah. Scotty, it's on you. And to be fair, if you'd like to use a wizard, that's up to you.
I mean, you could use a warrior and a wizard and go with Gilbert Arenas.
Whoa.
He's telling everybody. Yeah. He's putting it on Instagram.
He would use the moving pictures.
I mean, they call that video, by the way.
I heard about that.
I might go Mike Dunleavy Jr., actually.
What? No, Mike Dunleavy can't get rid of a body. He'd put in his locker.
I think he has connections. I think he knows. I think he knows.
That might be the worst answer if anyone's ever given
up. Start your takeover.
What are you talking about? He would know as soon as you got arrested. Don't say anything. Ask for a lawyer. Don't open your mouth. Just ask for your lawyer.
Mike D was known for having no heart at
Watching
all.
Scott desperately decide whether or not to reach for the stop button was awesome right there. Should I start my takeover or
I
not?
Honestly don't like specifically laugh out loud out of control. Like that never happens to me. And that's, I mean, you might be right. Maybe we don't know about Mike D, but from what I do
know
about Mike D.
We don't often like go through these things and think about them. Like this is one where we actually were allowed to think about it. And you came up with Mike Dunleavy.
I think that's the worst answer. Is that the worst possible answer?
That's the worst
answer. I challenge you. Can you think of a worst warrior? Who would actually, Adam Keefe?
Vladimir Rodmanovich?
No, Vlad had connections. There's no way.
He had connections.
Vlad didn't have connections. Yeah. Sorry. Then we will agree that Mike D is
space
the worst
cadet.
One. Okay, before we get out of here, I'm very happy to announce that we will be going back to Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan next week. This week, we are finally going to announce who Josh will be fending off for his current title. And we've got a clip from him, I think. Let's hear our challenger.
This is a PSA. That means public service announcement for all you dumbass Warrior bandwagon fans. I just want to let y'all know that I see you with your shiny new Durant jersey and your shiny Curry shoes. I just want to let y'all know that real Warrior fans, we ain't never fake the funk. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Jay the Giant, the people's champ. You done woke up a genie from inside of the lamp. I'm 24 years young and I was born in the stack. If you ain't know where that's at, you better get you a map. No, I'm not no bandwagon fan. Leave that shit in the land. I've been rocking since BD was a man. I was only 13 when I stepped on the scene, but fell in love with the Dubs as soon as I seen Jason Richardson straight dunking on fools and Dunleavy's punk ass getting showered in booze. Since 2005, ain't nobody alive can drop more knowledge on the Warriors than I. Since 13, I've been an Insta fan, and you can follow Jada Giant on Instagram. Oh yeah, also my Snapchat is at I like you like you, and my Twitter is at I'm also Asian. All right.
My boy's name there is Jericho. I got that right?
That's right.
All right. Before we jump into his intro, let me give him props. Jericho is selected for a number of reasons, one of which was the originality we just heard.
Fire.
Another reason Fire. Is that he talked big crap to Josh on our ongoing email chain between all of the contestants, which I immediately enjoyed. Now, to the intro, I don't know why Warrior fans wouldn't know what a PSA is and why he had to explain that to bandwagon fans, but the rest of it was creative.
I mean, because he needed something to rhyme.
You think, okay, so that it fit in. How many of the questions did he answer? Again, impressive. I don't think it was a freestyle. I do think that he worked on it a little bit, but impressive. But I don't know if he gave us all the information we were looking for.
Well, there was no requirement to freestyle. I mean, that was extraordinary, incredible beat choice, just a great, great song.
You just like that he mentioned Dunleavy.
The Dunleavy reference was obviously great. He know Jericho knows what's up.
But he said that Dunleavy got booed.
He did say that.
That doesn't he mean was you right can't about bury that. Too.
He was 100% right about that. In fact, it made me feel like Jericho may know more about the Warriors than Scott did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, was that where that landed? Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it is what it is.
How often do we agree? We agree on that.
Yeah. Well, when you're right, man. It happens. I will give him a lot of credit for originality. I like the information. He doesn't go back crazy far. Baron Davis is not necessarily an old school name, but far enough back where he's not necessarily a bandwagon guy.
I mean, Josh only got through like 3 years.
Okay. Well, only because you guys screwed him on the Scalabrese deal. But the real question is, who's your money on? I'll get the easy answer out of the way. Josh is my guy. Josh is going to be winning. Josh has got another four very easily. This is already a done deal for me. Josh is my pick.
Wait, who's who?
What are you? I'm so confused by this. Josh is the guy who already won.
What happened to the dude I talked trash with?
He lost.
Can he still win?
Were you not awake during that? What are you talking about? This is not a difficult concept, but man.
Can that guy still win?
This week, it has nothing to do with him.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. If you can tell me that guy's name, we will give him two extra chances.
Oh, no chance.
Yeah, exactly right, which is I felt really, really solid about that. So Robert Mack, by the way.
Who am I choosing between?
You were choosing between Josh and the rap that we just heard.
Oh, Josh wins.
Why?
I don't know.
God. This is terrible. You are terrible. Scott, what's your pick?
Jericho, 100%.
Why?
Because, number one, that was just a great rap. Mm-hmm. okay. And rappers win in life.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he had a lot of knowledge that he dropped, and I want Josh to lose.
Josh, by the way, is a guy who said Scalabrese, not Scalabrini. He's a guy you fought with last time.
Don't even bother reminding
anything?
Him.
Nothing.
I don't know.
Were you in like a soundproof booth during the thing last time? Or
I don't know. I pretend to listen sometimes. I don't know what's going on.
My pick is on Josh. We will ultimately come back.
We agree.
Yeah, no.
Why are you beating me up about my pick of Josh?
What are you trying to tell? The audience shouldn't listen to this either? We're trying to fire them up, not push them out.
I mean, they probably shouldn't listen to our predictions on who's going to win.
If I mention that, I absolutely hate you. Huge, huge fun.
Do we have beans on this?
True. We can put some on them. What's up? I got 5 beans on Josh.
All right, then I pick the other dude.
Bam. It's done. Huge fun. You guys, true every week, certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us, become a member of the Are You Smarter candidate pool, anything. Take shots at Resty for not listening, Scott at his lack of Mike D knowledge, whatever it is. We can be reached at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @warriorshuddle. We give out crazy free crap every Friday, so might be worth giving us a follow. Resty, per usual, I'm sure can be found on the internet. Where on the internet, Resty?
Twitter.
Oh, Twitter, okay. Perfect. That narrows it right down. Our website remains warriorsworld.net. And I am very fired up to announce we are also part of a brand new partnership, V Sporto.
I like those guys.
Exactly right.
We did that deal?
Yes, we are in. V Sporto is a podcasting network that focuses only on sports. We were one of the first NBA submissions with them. I stand by them. They are phenomenal. If you guys enjoy the show and want to help us out, hop on their website, vsporto.com, and listen to us there. In fact, download and you don't even have to listen. You can press play and then turn it down, but as many hits as you give us on there really hooks us up, and we genuinely appreciate it.
That's probably mostly because I'm on this thing that they hooked us up.
I mean, don't try to pretend like you care now, although you can help us. Rumor has it we're expecting somebody next week.
Yeah, Larry Riley's going to be on with us next week. He's the man that saved the franchise. He drafted Stephen Curry.
Exactly right. With that in tow, I'm fired up. If you have suggested questions, hit us on the email. If not, we'll see you next week. Until then, go Warriors.
Good.